Hey everyone, welcome to episode 143 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, February 18th, 2018. And with me, we have the crew. So we have from New Hampshire along with me, we have Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm excited about, this week in general is pretty fun for me. I got to create kind of a new deck that hasn't been seeing much play lately. I've been playing Freeze Mage. It's not exactly like before or anything, but it's my version of Freeze Mage. And I've personally been having a ton of fun climbing the ladder with it. And I've even gotten up to top 50 with it last night.
I've never heard of Freeze Mage before. It must be absolutely brand new.
No, I don't like... In this metagame, nobody's played it. Because I'm not talking, like, big mage, like, I'm talking freeze mage, man. That hasn't, like, it hasn't been a thing, alright?
Freeze mage has never been a thing.
Oh my
god! It had died out. You're gonna give Ray that. It definitely did die out. And that other voice you hear from Kansas City is JR. How's it going, JR?
It's pretty good. It's warmed up here because evidently all the freeze mages went over to your side.
Dude, that's actually so true. It's been snowing ever since I started playing Freeze Mage.
And it's been warming up here. Like, it was like 50 degrees.
If when I go to California and it starts snowing,
that's a sign.
As soon as I open up my iPad, I'm just done. Yeah. I'm done with life. GG, I am the weatherman. I was the snow. GG, I was the snow.
I was the freeze.
I was the freeze to your mage.
But no, Ray, I would love to hear about your freeze mage and how this is an all-new freeze mage that we've never seen before. No, I'm serious. No. I'm dead serious right now, even though I'm laughing.
Okay. I will talk about that later, and it will be a good time, I promise you. It's a really cool deck.
Yeah, but
does it have ice block? Does it have freeze effects?
It does. It has all of them.
Just making sure.
No.
All right.
Well, as for me, I've been doing some stuff related to one of our news topics coming up. So I'll use that to transition into the news for this week. So as a part of the Wild month, Blizzard released the announcement for the Wild Open. So it's really quick turnaround. They announced it earlier this week. And so it's essentially split into 2 weeks. And the first one is this upcoming week, where you have qualifiers for America, Asia, and Europe. And then the week after, you have another qualifier. And it's a pretty interesting structure where you have a 128 Swiss bracket, and essentially the top four, I believe, from each bracket go on to like a playoff. And then you play, that gets shown on like the Play Hearthstone, like the Twitch channel and everything. So it should be pretty fun. I'm really pumped. Was prepping a lot this week. I'm really excited.
So what are you playing?
Yeah.
We'll cover that maybe next week after I win it all.
After I win it.
Is Freeze Mage in there?
Freeze Mage is not. It's such a new deck. Like I haven't had a chance to test it. I don't know.
Oh my god. We're not streaming the episode this week, but I want to just take my hood and put it over my head and just pull the strings. And just hide in my hood for the rest of the episode.
Gosh. It usually takes us like 20 minutes to get to this point, but we just started off the bat tonight.
I mean, maybe it's because John's not here, so you feel like you have to make up for it in some way.
No.
Which...
I'm sorry. It's funny. No, I'm sorry. I'm just so caught up on Freeze Mage being this new thing. I just have to continue laughing about it, and I'm gonna quit talking about it now. So sorry.
Okay. Well, ironically, the first tour stop for HCT actually happened this week, and it was Copa America, and Not Freeze Mage was played a lot, and by not Freeze Mage, I mean Zoth Mage, which is pretty crazy to me, honestly, because it just kind of came out of nowhere. A player named Tic Tac played it on the ladder. He kind of popularized it, made it a thing. It's just a super greedy deck that you play, like, Pyros, and you play the 2/3 Beetle guys that give you armor, and you just play random Death Rattle cards, but the main one is kind of just Pyros, because that card with N'Zoth is insane.
Yeah,
and Syndragosa.
Pyros is pretty crazy, because we've been running that in Reno Mage for a while, and when you bring that back with N'Zoth, you get the 2/2 and then the 6/6 again. It's so much value behind that.
Yeah, and you also get Syndragosa. It plays Syndragosa, so the little 0/1 dudes that give you a legendary when they die also get respawn from N'Zoth, so it's pretty much infinite value if you get Pyros and Syndragosa to die before you play N'Zoth. You just get so much value, it's crazy. And there were matches that were N'Zoth Mage mirror matches in that tournament. So just imagine that. It pretty much goes to fatigue every time, where somebody gets like an insane legendary, or one person gets like Pyros and Dragosa into N'Zoth early, and they just get good legendaries. It was crazy. It was pretty much all control. Control Paladin did very well in the tournament as well. I think there was both the Control Paladin and the OTK Control Paladin. If you guys haven't seen that, it's pretty much just the Death Knight, which one turn kills you with Burgly Bullies, and the legendary that refreshes your hero power whenever you play a spell. So you can just OTK people with the Death Knight late in the game. Generally, a lot of decks right now can't deal with Burgly Bully without playing a spell, because eventually the deck actually can put on pressure. You have the recruit card, the 4-mana recruit card.
Call to Arms.
I always forget the name of that. Call to Arms, it'll bring out like Loot Hoarders, Dirty Rat is played in that deck. It just gets really high value targets that don't normally put on a lot of pressure, but if you Call to Arms into a Burgly Bully and they know that you're the OTK deck, they don't want to play a spell. But at the same time, they're facing like 6 to 10 damage a turn. They have to actually deal with the board, so it forces their hand to play a spell. It's really interesting. And it was fun to watch.
That deck also cycles really fast as well. I've seen a little bit of it, and getting the 3 like small 2 drops out of your deck like gives you better plays as you develop. And then later on, you get like you're able to pull this combo off quicker than you'd expect. Because normally with a lot of the OTK combos, you have to assemble all your pieces. But when you're running the recruit card, Call to Arms, where it draws the cards out of your deck and it thins your deck, and you're running draw cards like Loot Hoarder and some other stuff like that, it just, your deck flies. You fly through it.
Yeah, it's actually really crazy. And some of them, they play the Divine Favor or the Divine Shield cycle card for 2 mana. I don't know what it's called, but it for 2 mana it gives one of your minions Divine Shield and you draw a card. And then they play
The Heroism thing. Is it Potion of Heroism?
Potion of Heroism. And they play in Lanessa, which is the new Paladin legendary, which casts all the spells that you've casted on minions onto Lanessa, so you get to cast the Potion of Heroism again and again, and then it plays Spike Ridge Steed as well. So if you get that out, you just get a giant dude that also cycles you more cards. It's pretty cool deck. It's probably not that great on ladder because there's so much more aggro on ladder, but building a full aggro lineup for a tournament is actually pretty difficult. There aren't that many great aggro decks right now aside from Paladin, so people have tended to lean towards just going full control, which it's really interesting to watch for like maybe a match or two, but then after that it's just like once you've seen the matchup happen once, it's just so drawn out and kind of boring to watch it again. I couldn't watch every single match. I just kind of got the results after watching like one match, and then I was like, all right, I don't need to see this N'Zoth Mage Mirror match again. I know how this is gonna go. and it's going to take like an hour.
So did it feel like a more diverse lineups for people than the HCT championships did?
The lineups are definitely more diverse right now. I just feel like the tournament meta hasn't been explored a whole lot yet. And for that tournament specifically, the way these work is there's an online qualifier, and then there's like a 16-person LAN event. And that LAN event, a lot of the people were on the same mindset, so it just kind of happened that everybody brought control except for a couple people who didn't do that well. So I think it's more of the people that were at that tournament kind of came to the same conclusion and all played the same thing. But
was everybody bringing Warlock and Warlock was getting banned every game? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's still that happens.
Yeah,
that's happening 100% of the time. Unless somebody had brought something like Quest Rogue or something super anti-control, but that wasn't the case. It was just, like, Control Warlock, Control Paladin, N'Zoth Mage, and X, whatever they chose to bring as X.
Do you think that this, like, innovation in deck building is directly because of the nerfs? Or do you think that it's just, like, the next cycle in what's going on in the tournament metagame?
I think that the nerfs are obviously the main reason why people are playing these super greedy control decks. Aggro just got worse in general, right? Tar Creeper's gone, Patches is gone. What got hit from control side? Not that much, honestly. Like, losing Raza Priest, I wouldn't consider that a control deck. That's like a combo,
yeah,
right?
It kind of kept control in check, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Raza Priest is the reason why control decks weren't played, because they could just get bursted down. But without that in the metagame anymore, what's keeping control decks in check? That's a little bit more interesting, because there are decks that actually do that. Quest Rogue, Quest Druid, there's a lot of really creative decks that people can come up with. Yeah, Quest Mage is still a thing.
Is Burn Mage a thing? Like, aggro style stuff, or is that just wild?
Tempo Mage is a thing, for sure. Tempo Mage is really good against control decks as well. I think all those things are gonna start to kind of rotate amongst the different tournaments. Like, going into the next HCT tournament, whatever it is, I think it might be Sydney, it might be the one in Montreal or Toronto that I'm going to. I don't really remember what the order is. But throughout the cycle, I think for the next one, we're going to see people try to counter control decks, which means I think we're going to see Quest Rogue, Quest Mage, Quest Druid, like just crazy stuff like that, which we have seen in the past. We've seen people do that in the past. Fatigue Warrior, that's going to be a thing now. That's crazy. Is a real thing. It's actually very good too against the control stuff, because you have double Dead Man's Hand, and you have like Cold Light Oracles and stuff. It's super interesting. And then I feel like once that happens, after that tournament, we're gonna see a lot of aggro decks, because aggro decks are what beat those decks, and it's just gonna go on and go on and go on, and that's really exciting, because there's no stagnation right now. I think it's developing pretty rapidly with each tournament, and there's no specific best lineup yet.
Right, and we have probably what, like, I'm looking at the calendar now, 6 to 8 weeks probably until the next set.
Yeah.
And this is usually a time when things just get like, man, I don't want to play this meta anymore.
Yeah. Right now, to me, it's the opposite. People thought at first, oh my god, Warlock didn't get nerfed, it's going to be the best deck. Obviously, it is, like, Warlock is getting banned a lot in tournaments, but I don't think that it's so good that it's oppressive to the point where everybody has to play it. I have not run into that many Warlocks on ladder, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been playing against a lot of Paladins, a lot of just random stuff. Like, Purple made a new deck that was Shaman. It was Jade Shaman with the Kobold card that recovers the weapon. So you play Jade Claws, you attack, the Jade Claws dies, you play the Rummaging Kobold, get the Jade Claws back.
That is so smart! Oh my god! I never thought of that!
And then you play the Elemental that gives you Battlecry twice. So you play the Jade Claws with the Elemental, and then you get two more Jades. It was really cool. Me and him ran into each other when I was playing my new Freeze Mage deck. I And he was like, wow, your deck's so cool. And I was like, wow, your deck's so cool, but you run double Healing Wave and double Jinyu Water Speaker with the double Battle Cry guy. So you just healed for about 70 health.
But
I can't beat that.
No, but let's be real. Freeze Mage is a really cool deck.
Yeah.
Especially the new and improved one.
Racy tested, Racy approved.
I got to top 50 legend, and it's fun. So I think there's a lot of the metagame that hasn't actually been found out yet, and that's just starting to get uncovered. Dude Paladin, I don't think we have actually talked about the Dude Paladin deck on the podcast yet, because we missed last week. And Dude Paladin is something that's new. It plays, Muzzy found it, and it plays the Lion card that gets cheaper for each Silverhand recruit you have. It plays Lightfuse Stegadon.
Oh, wow.
And
I haven't heard of that card in Standard for at all, actually. I don't think that card's ever been played in Standard.
Yeah, it's probably the best deck. According to Vicious Syndicate Meta Snapshot, it is the best deck right now.
To be fair, Vicious Syndicate has said that Paladin is the best deck in Wild for a while as well. I mean, what during Un'Goro and Knights of the Frozen Throne, they started to skew a little bit towards Paladin being a larger deck. And maybe it is because it's true statistically. Yeah,
so that is, it's just cool, right? There's new developments coming out, and a lot of people just thought, oh, Warlock's too good, it's the best thing in the world, but now we're seeing these new innovations happen. The Shaman thing came out, this Dude Paladin thing came out. I think that people get in this mindset where they pigeonhole themselves into just this Warlock is the best, this is how it's gonna be. There's nothing else because Blizzard didn't nerf these Warlock cards, so the world has no hope and everyone's going to die at the hands of Gul'dan. Well, I don't think that's actually the case, and now the pros are starting to explore more things, and
I think about it. This allows you to explore more things because you didn't have patches needed in every single deck. You didn't need Corridor Creeper needed in every single deck. You didn't need Bone Mare needed in every single deck, and those are the cards that got nerfed. And we were seeing them in everything. Like, even control or combo decks were playing patches, Corridor Creeper, and Bone Mare. And those, you know, that's five cards that you now don't need in your deck. And in patches, more than that, because you need the pirates to go along with them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
One of the things about the Warlock now, too, is you can tech against it. Because beforehand, you had Raza Priest as well, where you couldn't... those two were the really good decks, and you couldn't really hedge against both of them, so you had to choose against one. Now, when you tech your decks, you can tech specifically for Q-Block or Control Warlock. And now you don't really have to worry about splitting between Raza Priest and the Cube Warlock. So that helps a little bit as well. You start putting double Spellbreaker in your deck, and then you can really start winning some of those matchups that you wouldn't have won against Cube before.
Yeah. I mean, Weapon Destruction is huge against Cube Block, and obviously now you can tech double Spellbreaker because you don't have to worry about other things like Raza being so oppressive. And I think that even if the meta doesn't necessarily, we don't discover even more decks or whatever like that, I think it's actually pretty balanced right now. I feel like there isn't one thing that's just so strong that it feels like you can't beat it.
So Ray, since we're talking about the meta here, and I've been making fun of your Freeze Mage, your new Freeze Mage, never heard of before Freeze Mage. I got some questions. I was wondering if you wanted to talk about it for just a little bit on what it is, and is this like a tournament deck that you're hoping to make, or is it just purely ladder?
I think it can be both, but you would obviously play it a little bit differently. On ladder, you have to play things like double polymorph to pretty much have any game against Warlock, but in tournaments, I think that you can build it so that it's an anti-aggro deck. If the meta becomes that at some point, you can build it so that way you have, like, every single freeze, you can play Volcanic Potion, you can play Double Flame Strike if you want to, just super, super anti-aggro, which is originally what I had built for ladder, but then I realized you just can't beat Warlock, so I added things like Medivh, Jaina. With the list that went viral on Twitter, I had Antonitis in it, because a lot of the time, like, Q-Block doesn't play Siphon Souls, or sometimes they don't have Nether in their deck, so if you just go Archmage Antonitis, Nova, and there's not a Doomguard on the board, they don't really have any good answers to it, and if it sticks, you just win. And against Priest as well, you're playing Doomsayer, so a lot of the time you're going to bait their silences. You have Medivh. If you bait their death and you just go Nova Doomsayer, Antonitis Nova, you just win the game. So it's okay on ladder, but I think you can tailor it to be more specific towards the metagame if you're doing tournaments. And it could be viable. To me, though, I don't think that it's good enough to play in a tournament. I think there are just better options. But for ladder, it's just different than what everybody's playing right now. And it has game against everything, in my opinion, if you play it correctly. And I have fun playing it because the skill cap for the deck is very, very high. I feel like the first 50 to 100 games I played with it, I was making mistakes every single game. And the reason why I kept trying to get better and keep improving the build was because I felt like I was always making a mistake, and that I could have won if I had played better. And now that I'm playing the deck better, and I feel like I'm at a more optimal build, and I'm kind of getting a feel for how I should tech the deck for certain matchups, I have been pretty much in top 100 for the last 2 days. Going up and down, just playing the deck.
So what are some things? Like you alluded to, you're playing Antonitis, Frost Nova. So you know you've got combo burst damage going on there. I believe you said you were playing Frostlich Jaina, right?
Yeah, so basically it just plays like all the burn cards. I play like double Fireball, double Frostbolt, Pyroblast, double Glyph, so you have like a burn package there, so you can Alex Straws of them. You play Alex, so a lot of decks you just Alex them, double Fireball, Frostbolt them, and they're dead. A lot of decks don't really have any healing right now. Even Q-Block, it's one of the hardest matchups because it has a lot of healing, but sometimes they don't know what you're playing against. The surprise factor is huge. A lot of the times they just go Lackey and they use their Dark Packs. They use their Dark Packs on their Lackeys early. They use their Spellstones to remove random threats because they don't actually know what you're doing. They think you're Big Mage or something like that. And they just use all their healing and then you just kill them. Like, the first few days I was playing the deck, I was actually just destroying Warlocks because they had no idea what was going on.
That's crazy. Are you running the 1-mana gain armor card? Artificer?
I play one Arcane Artificer because sometimes it's just a lifesaver against aggro. You can just get your block popped and then go Artificer Blizzard and the game's over. It's kind of like a Gunther Mage that doesn't play Mana Worm and focuses more on controlling the board as opposed to tempo.
So yeah, that sounds like... Yeah, that doesn't sound like your grandpa's Freeze Mage.
I wish I could have more burst, but because I don't have more burst, I have to play cards like Medivh or Flashless Jaina to give me more potential minion damage against other control decks, because I can't just OTK them. I have to fight a different way to try to push damage. And Medivh, I mean, you Blizzard their board, you get a 6-cost minion, they can't kill it, that's face damage.
Nice.
Like, all you have to do is stick one minion and then Alex them and hit them in the face and put them below 10, and then you'll win. But it's really difficult to actually get that scenario to happen. But it does happen sometimes, and that's why you have to play cards like Medivh, just because you don't have that more burst, and you have to get that burst in the form of minions now.
You said you posted that list on Twitter, on your Twitter account?
Yeah, that's on my Twitter, and now it's on, like, Hearthstone Top Decks and all that stuff. Ahirun.com, which... No, that's a thing. He has a website.
He has a website? No way.
Yes.
Oh my god. I gotta check that website out.
That's all I use. I just go to ahirun.com.
That's crazy.
It's this Japanese guy. He's super cool, actually. I talked to him before his Twitter blew up because I was a fan of the Hearthstone. There's a Japanese Hearthstone group called Hearthstone Zoo. And I was a huge fan of their conglomerate Twitter, I guess. They had, like, one Twitter account that is inactive now. It kind of died. They all went their separate ways, but Ahirun kind of took over the thing that that account used to do. For whatever reason, nobody really paid attention to it, but I paid attention to it. They would retweet all the Japanese decks, and it was cool because the Asian scene, in general, I think they play a little bit differently than we do. They're a little bit more creative. And it was cool to see that kind of stuff. And then this guy, this guy that was in that group made a new Twitter account called Ahirun, and he just pretty much retweets deck lists. That's all he does.
Yeah.
And he formats them in a really nice way. And it blew up. He has like 30,000 Twitter followers or something. But when I first met him, the Hearthstone Zoo, he messaged me and he was like, yeah, we're huge fans of you. Blah, 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 because I have a lot of Japanese friends from Pokemon, so I knew them, and their whole shtick is that they're just a bunch of casuals that get drunk and play Hearthstone together. That's what he told me. He's like, yeah, that's what we do every day. We just get drunk. We just, like after work, we just go to the bar, get drunk, and play Hearthstone together.
What more could you ask for?
Because I had my Japanese friend translate one of his posts on the Hearthstone Zoo website, and it was just, like, a bunch of memes. And they were just, like, memeing. But then he actually made, like, an ahirun.com that's, like, more serious and stuff, and now he has sponsors and all this stuff. But he's actually a really cool guy.
He has really good content, person. Too. Whenever I see his Twitter image is of a duck. So every single time I see the duck on my Twitter, I'm like, okay, this is something that should be worth looking at.
Yeah. I mean, I can confirm, unfortunately, he's not a duck in real life. But he's still a pretty cool dude. And if you want to get the most trending deck list, then you definitely have to go follow that guy on Twitter, because if you want to know what to play, my answer is to just go to ahirun.com or his Twitter and just look at that, and that's what you should play. Because he just retweets every single person who gets to rank one legend. I don't know how he finds them. Like, they can be the most random people on Twitter, but they'll be rank one legend, and he'll be retweeting it.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
It's the burning edge of the meta.
Yeah, I don't understand how he finds them, though. He just, every single person who gets rank one legend and has a tweet, he just finds them.
Well, that's just, you just run a bot that will do that for you and find that stuff.
That's taking all the fun out of it, JR.
I know.
I think it's this one guy who's just behind his computer all day, just going in on it. You ruin the magic behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has magical duck powers.
I'm sorry to ruin your magical duck powers. It's magical bot powers, boys. But anyway, I was talking about it a little bit ago. We're what, like 6 to 8 weeks away from probably the new expansion?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We're what, like a week or two maybe away from the announcement of the new expansion? Yeah.
Can I just say this really quick? Okay, somebody just tweeted at me. I just read it, and it's the funniest thing in the world. He said, "Hey, ma'am, I just saw your mom with a Ray C hat at Whole Foods. I hope she enjoyed her peppermint mocha." funniest thing to me. I don't know why. I just think that's hilarious, and I wanted to say it. All right, sorry. Wait, continue your thing.
Do you have racy hats?
My mom does. Yeah.
So this is a thing that really happened. The guy wasn't just trolling you on Twitter.
No, he really
saw your mom drinking a peppermint mocha wearing a racy hat at Whole Foods.
Yeah, he said where the Whole Foods was, so I know it's like this is a legitimate thing. She went to Whole Foods today at that location. So unless he's like some next level stalker, he saw her at Whole Foods.
We need to all get racy hats now.
She has them. You can.
Yeah.
You can. She gave Albert one.
Really?
Actually, yeah. She gave Albert a jacket, a PG jacket that she pimped out, and a racy hat.
A jacket was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, she's just a fan of the culture.
She's a fan of her son. Who would have thought that?
I know, especially with what she says about me. Oh, God. She told me I wasn't allowed to die when I'm, like, across seas or in California because they need the body for her to get the insurance money.
Oh, man.
I mean... Okay, so guys, for the two listeners we have left after this conversation, let's talk about Hearthstone.
It's our moms.
All right. Well, we can get into this part about the listeners, what you guys want to hear. This is actually super cool, and I'm gonna let JR read it. But I want to say that I really appreciate. Everybody who sends in emails because it just shows that people are listening and it gives us good ideas. We read every single one of them and truly just like if you guys say you want us to talk about something, we will do it and that's what we're going to do. So JR, you can...
I'll do that. I was going to go and talk about predictions about what we would like to see in the next expansion and things like that, but we'll answer emails instead. We'll come back to it. So, no, these are really good emails, actually. So, the first one we got was from Brett in Milwaukee. And he said, hi, guys. I've been playing Hearthstone for less than 2 months. I've listened to a number of different podcasts, most of which are entertaining, but none of them have a lot of strategic discussion. Walmet is the first one I've heard actually attempted to help me become a better player. That's pretty high praise. I appreciate it. Some background. My son convinced me to try Hearthstone. He's 21 now, and I'm in my 50s. After 30 days, I rose to rank 8 using Aggro Paladin and Rogue. That's actually higher than my son or his friends ever hit. But since I'm old, I have oodles of cash to spend. Unfortunately, both of my decks were nerfed beyond repair. I had to sell out and build a Warlock Cube deck, which feels like cheating. I teched in a Blast Crystal Potion, which is great in this deck. I've only seen one other player use it so far, but I think it's going to see more play. I still make terrible misplays, but only know that, and only know what the other player is going to do once they do it. I wish there was an easy way to play other people's decks in order to learn. Many thanks for helping new players and not just talking about card backs and using multiple accounts for your legend status. Here's a couple random topics might be interested in hearing about. First topic is hitting face versus trading. Second topic is good tech cards, overlooked cards. Third topic is mulligans. Thanks again. And I think we wanted to touch base on the first thing that he talked about. We wanted to have a discussion on hitting face versus trading, when to trade, and learning how to do it. All
before
three
we
of
go
are
into
very
that,
good
though,
discussion points that we're definitely going to hit on in the future. So thanks for that email. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, before we go into that, that's really impressive. After 30 days, he got rank 8. Like, I know people who have been playing for a significantly longer time who haven't gotten there. So that's pretty impressive after 30 days of a card game, just getting into it. Props to you, Brett.
Yeah. That's impressive. I mean, I've coached, like, new people who are, like, friends. And, like, after a month, they're still rank 16, still trying to figure out what all the cards do, let alone actually climbing the ladder. So, that's really good. And as you continue to play and familiarize yourself, if you really try to improve and get better, you will. It's kind of like life. The more work you put in, the more you get out of it.
And as an older player myself, like, one of the reasons why I like Hearthstone is, unfortunately, once you get older, you start losing your reflexes and video games become a little more tougher to play. For example, I'm having a really tough time playing Mario Odyssey lately on getting some of the timed jumps and things like that down as I'm trying to 100% that game. Just because my reflexes aren't as much as they were in my 20s, right? So Hearthstone is just one of those games where it doesn't matter, you know, what age you're at. I believe very strongly that we could have pro players well in their 30s, 40s, and 50s if they took the time to want to do that. Most of them probably have careers already that they can't devote that amount of time into Hearthstone to go pro, but it's something that's possible that I don't think you'd see in other games like Overwatch.
I mean, Cydonia is 30-something. I don't want to say his age, but he people think he's like 22 or 21, but he's actually in his 30s. He was, before he went pro in Hearthstone, he was a full-time pharmacist, which he gave up to go pro in Hearthstone. We didn't, like, give it up. Like, he could go back to it if he wanted to, but anybody can do it, man. And the reason why the younger kids, like me, for example, are the people that you're seeing is because we have no lives and nothing to do with ourselves, so we play Hearthstone and spend all our time grinding the ladder. We're also just degenerates, honestly. But those are really good questions, and that was a really good email. I personally have a really good answer to the what to do in certain situations. Do I go face or do I trade? But Danny, do you have anything first before I kind of go off on my thing?
I'll let you go off on it.
All right, so when should you trade and when should you go face? This is an answer, or this is a question that I get a lot when I do coaching, because it's one of the most common mistakes that players who are not as high level make all the time. Even legend players make that mistake. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, there's this biological thing in your head where if you're under a lot of pressure, you just always feel like you need to trade. If you are just, for whatever reason, people just always think they need to trade. They're like, oh, I gotta play around this, I gotta play around that. But think about it like this. There's a book called The Art of War, and in it, it says that whoever has the high ground is at an advantage. And the high ground in Hearthstone is whoever is the aggressor generally has an advantage. The high ground is attacking face, because that means that you feel like you are in a dominant position, that you can apply pressure. When you react to your opponent, you are saying that I need to answer my opponent's threats. Reacting is generally seen of as being weaker, quote-unquote. It's like a weaker stance. So you want to be, generally in a game of Hearthstone, you want to be attacking. Obviously, that's not true for everything. Like, you're playing a control deck, you want to trade to clear the board. But if you're at a point in the game where you don't know what you should do, a lot of the times going face is just the correct answer, because your opponent, if you go face in a situation where it's really close, if your opponent doesn't have lethal, they will be forced to trade because they think that you somehow can kill them. It's just what happens. Even if they can't, I'll get so much free damage in a game of Hearthstone against a worse player simply because I attack face and they, for whatever reason, they trade. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, like, in their head mentally, but they'll trade. This is a really good example. We both play a minion on turn one, like a Kobold Librarian and a Warlock Mirror. This happens so much. And I'll go face with my Kobold Librarian after they play theirs, instead of trading. Some people, for some reason, they trade. If you trade, you effectively miss damage. Now, as the other person, if they trade, like if you play a Kobold Librarian, your opponent plays a Kobold Librarian, you go face, and then they trade, you're ahead, because you went face. Now, if they go face, they're back on even footing. Then, if you trade, you're kind of losing out on damage, because you've just gone face. Obviously, there's things like Mortal Coil and stuff, but in that situation, you should just both be attacking face. That never happens. Only when you see two good players play against each other do you see things like people just not trading. Same with Mistress of Mixtures and stuff. Going face instead of trading is just generally correct, and nobody does that. I'll get so much free chip damage in the early game with things like Arcanologist, just because I know that they'll trade. Even when I'm playing against Zoo as Freeze Mage, I'll play an Arcanologist on 2, they'll attack my face with their Flame Imp, and instead of trading into their Flame Imp, I'll just go face, because I know that they're gonna trade. I don't know why. I don't know why they do it, but it happens every single time, because I know they're gonna play a Darkshire Councilman on turn 3, because they tap on turn 2, and they just, it just happens. I'll just go face, and I'll get the free damage, and then they'll just feel like they have to trade. Yeah. I don't know why. Do you feel like that happens a lot,
Dan? Yeah, oh, I definitely do. I feel a lot of the times trading is only good when you're protecting something. Like in your example with the librarians. If you have two librarians played, and then you go face, and then the other person goes face as well, you don't want to trade into his minion. The only caveat is if you're playing something next turn that he would get more value out of killing. Like, I can't think of a specific example off the top of my head, but let's say you want to play a 3-2 or whatever, then that's the situation where you want to trade. But in any other case, you have progressive damage in the lackey that can continuously go face.
And I would also say, like, later on, you want to be smart about how you trade as in regards of, because you still want board control, right? Because board control is what gives you the high ground to be able to go face. And you don't want your opponent to get way out of hand to the fact that, because then you're going to end up being the person that has to react if your opponent has a better board presence than you do.
Oh, yeah. If it's a battle for board control, like Danny said, if you're trading to protect something to then push more damage later on, it's obviously right, but it's hard to really talk about like specific scenarios. Mm-hmm. Where there's like a board control war going on and you have to trade all your minions into this one minion, take all the value trades, blah blah blah. Obviously, like there's situations where trading is correct. Like, I'm not saying never trade. I'm just saying think about why you're trading, and if it doesn't make sense, if you're not trading for a specific reason, if you're not trading to protect something, if you're not trading to prevent dying, or if you're not trading to, like, play around something like a taunt, sometimes it doesn't make sense, and you should go face. But a lot of people don't do it.
And I would say one of the things that you can do that would be very helpful is, like, record your matches and go back and watch the replays. Because this is something I am guilty of all the time. And it's what Ray is talking about here, where maybe I was just trading too early and I wasn't going face, and I come out to the game, like, late game, where I feel like I should have won that game, and I have gone back and watched my replays, and it was just like, man, if I had hit face here in these situations, I would have had enough at that point to probably have won that game. Instead, it allowed my opponent to be the aggressor, and I was reacting to them, and that's what ended up losing me the game. If I had switched that around, I probably would have won that game 9 times out of 10. If I had done that. And so just go back and watch your replays and go like, should I have traded there or should I have gone face? And as you do that, you'll start realizing situations where you need to, you know, change how you play. And then by doing that, you'll get better.
Yeah, and a lot of the times when you go face, especially at lower ranks, your opponent will just go crazy. Like, their mind will just go everywhere. They'll be like, why did he not trade here? Like, he has to have something. I need to trade. Something is gonna happen. I need to trade to prevent that thing that I don't know what it is, but man, he just hit my face, and if I don't kill that, something bad's gonna happen. I feel like that's what happens. Like, they just overthink things. And they're like, oh my god, are they playing some weird deck card that I need to play around? Because he should have traded there, there's no way. But sometimes just, like, I'll do that. Like, I'll be playing control decks, and I know that if I hit the face, they're gonna trade. Because they're just gonna get freaked out. And 9 out of 10 times, like, if I don't know the player by name, they'll trade. It's so weird. But it's just that lack of feeling comfortable enough about your knowledge of the game and knowing that there is nothing that you can get punished by going face, that you'll, like, feel comfortable doing it. A lot of people don't have that comfortability with their knowledge of the game and their play, and they just freak out, and they think that they're missing something, so they need to trade.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have that comfortability, just fake it till you make it. At that point, right, you just pretend like you... I mean, if you aren't playing around a specific board clear, there's no real reason for you to go in and make these trades. So just pretend that you're confident and do it, and it ends up working out for you more often than not.
Or you can just be like me and just fake it and never make it. I just fake it the whole way through. That's my life.
Yeah, there's actually a really specific thing that I remember, a point where I was learning how to play Hearthstone, and this was when Hunter was really good. And there was a point in the mirror match or something where I really wanted to trade with Savannah Highmane into, like, a Leoc or something to make his life harder. But by going face, I threatened that I had, like, a kill command in my hand that I didn't have. So by going face, it forced him to think that I had the burn. So he had to trade into me. Even though his trades were slightly more efficient, the fact that he traded meant I had more time to actually draw that kill command. And this was, like, I was in a call with a friend who was helping me learn how to play, and that's kind of, like, when it clicked that going face just a lot of the time makes more sense, because you have the higher ground there, your opponent gets afraid, and then they make worse plays, a.k.a. trade.
Yeah, so thanks again for that email, Brett. Those are some really good topics. I do want to go over the next two things in some future shows, and those were, you know, good tech cards, overlooked cards, and mulligans. I think mulligans will be a really good conversation with Danny and Ray. I'm sure they have some really insightful things to talk about that. But I want to go on to this next email that we got. By the way, if anybody wants to email into the show and, like, have topics they would like us to discuss, or questions they want us to answer, you can email us over at wellmet@bluespro.com, and I would love to, you know, get some more conversations like this out of you guys. I'd love to hear about what you would like us to talk about. It'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But this email, it wasn't really an email. It was more of a message sent to our BlizzPro Slack channel. From Leviathan, otherwise known as Steven Stewart. He's a Diablo player, writes a lot of Diablo stuff on our BlizzPro site. But he's been looking into getting back into Hearthstone. For longtime listeners of Well Met and the HearthPro show, he was a co-host on HearthPro back in the early, early days when Hearthstone was still in beta. And his email says, when do you feel is the best time to pick up Hearthstone? Say you're a returning player and you want to spend the least amount of money or have the least amount of buy-in to be competitive. When should you start playing to not feel like you have a lot of catching up to do? Does the rest of the new standard rotation make sense after every expansion? Any thoughts on the value of this bundle that they recently released? I think I may try to get back into some regular Hearthstone play and just thinking about the quickest path to making my collection relevant again, since I haven't really bought into the game since, like, Naxxramas.
Sorry, I had to do that.
And my thoughts are, if you haven't, like, so in Steven's case, he has somewhat of a collection already. Like, so he's been playing Classic, so he probably has a pretty decent Classic collection. But anything standard, he doesn't have. In my opinion, like, buying the bundle right now, because that's a really good deal, is definitely the way to go. Because you're looking at, how much is it, like $20 for 30 packs?
Yeah, that's what it is. I bought the bundle on every single server.
He hasn't bought any of the new sets yet, so he's guaranteed 3 legendaries.
Yeah.
Because in the first 10 packs of those each, he's going to get a legendary card out of them, and that's pretty awesome. So that's a really good buy right off the bat. And then maybe just work on a collection, maybe play Arena or something like that in the meantime, until the rotation happens. Because then you're removing 3 sets from Standard, right? That you don't have to worry about now. And now you've got the 3 sets that you have that you bought the bundle, and then the brand new set that just came in, that would just be coming out. I think that would be the best time. I'm curious what you guys think.
You want to go ahead, Danny?
Yeah, sure. I typically think that is the best time. But one of the things that you want to focus on, especially with that, is picking one deck as well. Picking 1 or 2 or 3 decks that you want to focus in on instead of just trying to collect the entire collection. Whereas if you're someone who, like, goes in specifically to collect all the cards and everything, like, going at that time obviously is the most important. But when you go in and you're really looking at specific decks, you only have really 4 expansions to pick from. And most classes, if you're going there, they're focused around one expansion or another. So certain decks will have things from one expansion, but not the other. Like Q-Block has most of the stuff from this most previous expansion. That's probably the most prevalent expansion that has all the cards in it. So you might want to focus in on Q-Block as opposed to something that's a little bit more diverse than that. So that's just my advice, is to focus in on 1 or 2 or 3 decks that are, like, specializing in one specific expansion rather than another.
And I would also say, like, if you're... Another thing I just thought of, if you're looking at just playing specifically Standard and you don't care about Wild because maybe you don't want to go back and get cards from previous sets or something like that, or maybe you want to craft... Maybe if you do want to play Wild, you want to craft the stuff later. Look at what maybe is in the Hall of Fame now that isn't in Standard. You might have some classic sets that you can dust, classic cards that you can dust, like Ragnaros. And Sylvanas is Hall of Fame now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, Sylvanas and Ragnaros are a couple of legendaries that you might be able to dust and get, some of the new stuff from there. And then you might also get to take advantage of the Hall of Fame, new cards getting introduced to the Hall of Fame coming up as well, if there are any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the best time to get into any card game is when a new rotation happens. I've played every single card game, and I always try to wait until... Like, if I'm going to get into Pokemon again, I would wait until September or whatever when Standard, like, rotates. So that way I get the most value for anything that I buy at the time.
Yeah.
And it's just generally cheaper. When there's less sets that you have to get, there's just less good cards, right? Like, that's just less money you have to spend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are also parallels for this in Wild as well. If you're a current Standard player and the rotation's coming up, your favorite deck from standard, let's say Jade Druids, rotating out, right now is a really good time to start trying out Wild, because you already have all those cards. So if you want to just start coming over to Wild, there's maybe two or three like new cards that you might want to craft, but you can take your deck that is good in standard and then bring it over to the Wild side.
Yeah, and Wild's...
To the Wild side.
Yeah.
And Wild's one of those things that I feel like is a lot cheaper to play.
Overtime, yes.
Overtime,
like you're...
Starting out, not so much.
Yeah, starting out, you have the whole big, like, really good list, but the standard expansions and everything affect each deck less and less. Obviously, there are more synergistic cards, like when Shadow Reaper Anduin was released, the entire, like, Reno Priest deck became really viable again, when it really hadn't. But for, like, the true tried-and-true decks, like maybe mid-range Paladin or something, you'll get two or three good cards each expansion, whereas in Standard, you'll have maybe an entire brand-new deck come in, like Jade Druid or something like that. You'll have a whole entire new deck come in. So over time, I believe that it is less expensive to get into Wild, but that's over time. If you're just going up front, sometimes these decks are a little bit more expensive.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of, you know, best time to come into Hearthstone, rotation happening, I want to go back to this discussion before we got, what do I want? Distracted by Ray's mom.
I'm sorry, I had to.
But no, like, you know, we're talking about the new rotation coming up. There hasn't been any announcements, you know, to when it might be, other than we know that Hearthstone is, has been on a pretty good, like, schedule for the last few years, that we're probably going to see something in March or April, early April get released, and that's probably when the new set will launch and the rotation will happen. We'll probably have, what, three weeks at least of spoilers? And
what they've done for that is they typically go and they announce it, and then they have 2 weeks of radio silence, and then they start bringing everything out.
They'll have, like five cards of spoilers, and then 2 weeks of silence, and then two or three weeks of everything else. So I feel like we're coming up to the announcement of the announcement, which... normally consists of, hey guys, we're gonna have a Twitch thing, live stream coming up this Friday or Monday or something like that, usually on a Friday, I believe, Thursday or Friday, and I'm gonna tell you about what's new in Hearthstone.
Do you guys have predictions about what the Hearthstone year will be named? Like, the first year was Year of the Kraken, this one is Year of the Mammoth. Do you guys have any predictions on what it's gonna be?
I think it's going to be the dog.
That's the Chinese New Year right now.
Oh, shoot, right. That's why I thought it would be the dog. What's a Hearthstone kind of thing? Maybe the Year of the Bear Shark.
I like Year of the Bear Shark. That's a good one.
So there's definitely some rumors running around of it being maybe the Year of the Griffin. Or something like that, because...
The dragon.
Dragon was one of them. Dragon,
I want to see Griffin. Treant. Like a tree.
Year of the Treant.
Year of the Treant. And because we don't have... The last skin, the like alternate skin, is for Druid. Because Druid is the only class that doesn't have an alternate skin at the moment. So maybe that'll come out soon, too.
Wait, are centaurs animals? Or are they like...
I think you could probably do Year of the Centaur.
It could be, like, Year of the Elf, or, like, something, like, whimsical, you know?
Year of the Wisp.
Like, Year of the Wisp. No, that does make sense, though. Like, when it was the Year of the Mammoth, Journey to N'Goro is, like, a mammothy set, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's...
And when Year it was of the Kraken. Old gods, very...
Old gods.
Tentacle,
that's very
things.
Tentacly, yep. Kraken-y. That's very Kraken-y. Mm-hmm. So, like... The new year, I think, yeah, maybe it'll have to, we'll have to see what the new set is, and then,
But the reason why I said Year of the Griffin, or Year of the Dragon, even, is there's been some, images that Blizzard has used in the past that shows, like, the time of, you know, the Year of the Mammoth, and then they show, like, what kind of the next year might be. I think people are reading too much into that. I think that was debunked.
Yeah, I think that when they went from Year of the Kraken, the next one was not a mammoth.
Right. So, like, I don't think they know that far in advance, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like, not for some graphic designer to put it together, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the designers know, but the graphic designer probably not, that put it together.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I don't know, man. We'll find out, though, soon enough, right?
What do you want it to be?
What do I want it to be?
What do you guys want out of the new set?
I want more pirates. We haven't had... Patches is gone now, so I want to see... Now that Patches is gone, I want pirates.
The year of the pirate. What do I want? I don't know. I kind of like this weird meta, like, control-y meta game we got going on. It feels like it's a lot more skillful.
I want to see something for hunters.
In the past, yeah. I want to see something for hunter. Like a mid-rangey hunter, though. I don't want aggro hunter, like, kill him on turn 5. I want, like, a cool mid-range hunter that makes use of all these unique kind of beast stuff they're printing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good enough yet. Like, I want draw, specifically, for hunter. I think this
I think you need to make right draw now. Creative in hunter, though. You can't just give hunter draw, or those aggro decks really start populating. That's the reason that aggro is, like, on the borderline in hunter, because you run out of steam relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like a board clear or something, though, because then, like, maybe a mid-rangey deck or something, or like a control kind of hunter could be good. I don't know what it would have to be, though. It'd be so kind of... It feels so weird for, like, the hunter flavor that they have going on. But
so one of the things in World of Warcraft that, man, I really wanted them to do, and they haven't yet, is something that ties in with the Darkmoon Fair. Like, just... I know, Ray, you haven't really played WoW, but the Darkmoon Fair is, like, this dark carnival that comes around once a month in the world, and they have these crazy little rides that are very weird, you know, carousels and stuff of weird creatures and things like that, and it's got very kind of disturbing music, in my opinion, and just a lot of little events that you would see in a carnival that you would imagine to be kind of magical in nature. And I think something like that would fit Hearthstone extremely well, especially as, like, a first set in the new year.
I mean, I went to the Darkmoon Fair at BlizzCon. I know what it's like. It's pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Nothing truly magical happened. I didn't open that many golden pins, but it was pretty fun.
That'd be pretty cool for single-player content, too. You have, like, I don't know, carnival-style game, and you relate it into Hearthstone somehow. That'd be a really interesting way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things where I would love to see them do, but I'm not sure if, you know, it's in the cards. Ha ha ha. But,
Ha, I get it. You said in the cards, and we're playing a card game. Yeah. Oh, you're so clever.
Yeah, I'm totally clever, man. But one of the things I wanted to ask you guys, too, is... when the new, like, rotation happens, people are expecting cards to go into the Hall of Fame. Do you think we'll see any cards go in the Hall of Fame? And if we do, what are they?
I do.
Will Freeze Mage get taken away?
Oh, man. Ice Block is so iconic for Mage, though. I don't know. I don't think it's problematic right now, so I don't really see Ice Block going into the Hall of Fame, but maybe they will.
But keep in mind, it's not just the card being a problem right now. It's a card that might, quote-unquote, disrupt future design space.
I agree with that, because they can't really print a whole lot more burn cards unless they Hall of Fame burn cards. Like, there's no way they can Hall of Fame something like Fireball. Like, that, that will never happen. That cannot happen. So, they would have to kind of put Ice Block in the Hall of Fame if they want to print more cards that are like Ice Lance or like just new burn cards, basically. They can't really keep Ice Block around, otherwise a Freeze Mage type deck just becomes way too good. Even if we had the Torch, what is it, the Fiery Torch or whatever?
Forgotten Torch.
Rotated. Forgotten Torch. If we had Forgotten Torch right now, there would probably be, there would definitely be an OTK because of like Leyline Manipulator. And if that, if this type of mage deck can find an OTK, or just has enough burn that decks can't heal out of it, then it would just probably become oppressive. So
you guys are losing Firelands Portal, though.
Yeah, but I feel like for mage, just the flavor of mage, they have to print new burn spells. And Ice Block might limit the creative whatever they... whatever they call it, creative design space.
Design space.
I don't know, of new, like, burn cards. Like, they can't print new burn cards that are too good, because if they do, then Ice Block becomes oppressive because the deck becomes too good.
One of the,
I don't know, though.
One of the cards I thought that they would go in the Hall of Fame, they just already nerfed, right? I thought Innervate would go in the Hall of Fame, and I kind of wish that they would have just waited and put Innervate in the Hall of Fame, but I understand why they didn't. Like, it feels bad that that card's nerfed, in my opinion, because it's I feel like it's an iconic card in Hearthstone that didn't deserve to be completely nerfed, just deserved to not live on in Standard. But in the same, like, regard, one of the cards I've been talking about for over a year now, I completely expected to go in the Hall of Fame last year, is Preparation for Rogue. Like, that's just any card that reduces spells or gives you free spells or is basically free to cast is like just rough.
The thing about Preparation though is that like it's a zero cost spell that on its own doesn't do anything. The only thing about Preparation is it synergizes extremely well with Auctioneer. That's the real interaction that is the underlying issue for the card. If you were not playing Auctioneer in the deck, and you were able to use Preparation along with something like Sprint for draw, I think that's totally fair. I think that for Rogue, a lot of the stuff is more Gadgets and Auctioneer, and maybe at the moment we don't have as much Miracle Rogue, but Miracle Rogue is the major proponent of that.
But at the same time, like, Auctioneer is, like, they nerfed Auctioneer a long time ago, right? And it probably deserves a nerf, but I don't think, like, I don't know if Auctioneer deserves itself to go in the Hall of Fame, because it's a card that you can build a lot of fun stuff around, but the card becomes a problem when you have free spells, or spells that make additional spells cheaper, or things like that, and that's where I think Preparation kind of becomes a problem. But also with Preparation, like, because of Preparation, you can't design more cards like Auctioneer either.
True, but I don't think that those cards would necessarily be good if there wasn't cheap spells or free spells. Like, you don't really see it in anything else anyways right now besides Miracle Rogue, and Miracle Rogue's not even that great. So I don't think it's that much of an issue. Like, I don't know, I could see Preparation going into the Hall of Fame for that reason, that they could print powerful spells. They could print more powerful spells that are cheaper for Rogue if they nerf or they get rid of Preparation.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it for that reason, but I don't know. I don't think it's, like, oppressive with Auctioneer right now. I think it's fine.
Do you think we'll see any legendaries
go to the Hall of Fame?
Like Alexstrasza.
Alexstrasza would be the legendary if any of them do, I think. But I don't think that Alexstrasza sees as much play as, like, Ragnaros and Sylvanas did back in the day. Like, those were the top end in every single mid-range deck that you played. Like, now you have to have a specific reason to play Alexstrasza. It's not run in every single control deck.
It's running no decks at all right now, except for except for my freeze mage. But I don't think that's an impressive deck.
We're taking a banhammer to his freeze mage.
I don't really see any problematic legendaries that are neutral or from Classic right now.
There is one that I'm slightly concerned about, but I'm not sure if it's on Blizzard's radar at the moment, and it's Divine Favor and Paladin. What I've seen is that in Wild, we've had a lot of aggro Paladin since the start of this expansion, and in almost every single aggro Paladin deck, you are running Divine Favor, two copies. So if you want to start printing out any aggro Paladin cards, you really, like any like really powerful ones, Divine Favor really like punishes the control decks for having, playing your cards in your hand. So I don't know, I'm just not as big of a fan of that interaction, because you're actively punished for hoarding your resources. Just like in the old days when you played Unleash the Hound, Starving Buzzard. Like, that punished you for having a large board. This punishes you for having a large hand. And I mean, I like how that interacts with the game, but I could see Blizzard finding it a bit oppressive and potentially pushing that to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I think it keeps the deck viable. Like, without Divine Favor, it's just not playable. But I could see it maybe if they... Hall of Fame Divine Favor, they make it a more mid-rangey based deck because they can give it more powerful early game cards that can push it into the mid game, and then they give it like more powerful mid game cards, and that like that can hold their weight and provide value, which don't really exist right now. Like cards like Keeper of Uldumon were so cool because they were just such strong like mid game card that was an answer to like a control. Like, maybe a, I don't know, just, like, a big threat from, like, a control deck mm-hmm. or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just.
So, one last thing I wanted to ask you guys is predictions on when we're going to hear about the next expansion. Like, the announcement of the announcement. Maybe when the announcement of the announcement's going to happen. And when you think the release date's going to be?
Maybe like 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
For the release of the expansion?
Oh, no, that's like 8 weeks. That's like 2 months away, probably.
So you're looking at 8 weeks, so you're looking at an April release. Like mid-April.
Is that...
Like April... What are you looking at? Like yeah. April 12th, 19th?
Early April. Like,
so April 12th?
Mid to... Yeah.
That's, on tax okay. day, April 15th.
I'll probably release it on, like, a Thursday, right?
That is April 15th. That is April 15th. They'll probably release it on April 15th, I think. Okay. I think that they're going to start going into the announcement...
April 15th on a Sunday.
Oh. Oh, I was looking in March. My bad. I'm a week... I'm overhyping it. Never mind. Yeah, it looks like the 12th then. I think April 12th seems like a reasonable date. I think we're going to start hearing information once this wild month is over. Like, I don't have the specific document in front of me, but like they said this next upcoming month is the month of wild. They have the set dates in that as well. If I look that up, I bet that on the day that it ends, they'll announce the next expansion.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good way to end the year, honestly. Like, throwing it back to wild is kind of like, look at all the cool cards that have been in the game, you know? Like, just, it's kind of like a review of Hearthstone's history in some sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's also, it's cool to look at how, like, the old school stuff works with the new stuff as well, right? Where you have all these kobolds and catacombs cards mixing in with your... old school, maybe it's your old school freeze mage where you're running ice lances.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just makes sense, and I really like that they're doing the wild thing to end out the year, because honestly, there's not that much going on right now. This is a perfect time to do it, and then as soon as it's done, as soon as we get a look at all the, like, the throwbacks, like the old stuff, go right into the new stuff, and then we're like, oh, and now here's the new set. Are you guys hyped? You just had a whole, like, refreshing month of Wild, looking at all the old stuff, and now it's time to get right back into it with the new year.
So I just pulled it up. It says that it's March 11th that the Wild month ends. So I guess right around then, that's on a Sunday. Maybe that Monday after we have the, on the 12th, we'll hear anything. And that's probably, that's exactly 1 month away from when we guessed it'll drop. So that's pretty cool.
Interesting. So my opinion is we're going to hear the announcement on March 2nd. On a Friday, is when we'll get the announcement. And then I think we'll start getting tidbits of information 2 weeks after that, and I think we see a release date on April 5th. That's my thoughts. So mine's a little bit early. Mine's about a week earlier than you guys. The announcement's a couple weeks earlier, but I think the release is going to be a week earlier than that. So it'll be interesting to see which one. But we're kind of all in the same sort of area.
Yeah, for sure.
It's nice to be guessing between like 2 or 3 weeks instead of 2 or 3 months, like at the beginning. Right. I remember when like Black Rock Mountain came out, no one had any idea what was going on. So, like that, I remember those guesses, and they were months apart.
I mean, do you remember Naxxramas?
Yeah,
Nax is out.
Nax like, is out.
That was
great.
That was the meme.
Yeah,
that's like probably why they did that, because people were so pissed about when Naxxramas was going to come out.
Yeah. Yep. But, no, that's, got about a month and a half of, this meta, and a month of Wild, and off to the races. So it should be pretty good.
For sure. All right. Do you guys want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Sure. So, we'd like to give a shout-out to our well-met legends, the real Ben and Carell. And if you guys want to support us, we have a Patreon. So that can be found at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. So we should move on to the closing stuff now. Do you guys have shout-outs and how people can get in contact with you? Let's start with you, Ray.
I actually just wanted to say that the Patreon, if you are interested in getting coaching, you can support the podcast while also getting coaching from me to improve as a player. I think it's like the $30 tier. I know that Edelweiss, I always mess up her name because I just call her by her real name now, but she's actually gotten, like, after she did the coaching sessions and stuff, I don't know, she's like a good legend player now. Like, she's actively winning a bunch of tournaments. It's pretty insane to see that happen to me. I don't know. I just think it's the coolest thing in the world. And it's kind of like low-key, like a brag that like this person I coach is now doing really well in the scene. I just think that's really cool. But yeah, the $30 tier for the Patreon, you can get coaching and I can personally teach you the ways
of not trading.
I can just teach you the way of the Hearthstone. But yeah, so that's it for it. You can follow my Twitter, PG_RayC. I post all my cool new Freeze Mage lists there. But yeah, that's it for me.
Yep. JR?
You can follow me over on Twitter at Aldorian, over on Twitch, which I never stream, but hopefully someday over at twitch.tv/AldorianBP. I'm hoping to stream some like live coding stuff at some point. I've got a project that I'm going to be coaching on that Jeff Fritz's stuff with the Hearthstone plugin that we talked about like a month or so ago. That's probably going to happen in either late March or sometime in April. On my own stream, I'm hoping to do some upcoming Diablo stuff with Leviathan on a project that we're talking about with his new self-found league or whatever it is in Diablo. I'm hoping to make a website or something like that for him. So it's probably primarily going to be coding stuff over there. I want to give a shout out to KC Firesides. They have an event coming up here pretty soon over at, I believe, the Pond and Pint. It's going to be like an RPG thing. I might be too late on this. I don't remember the date. But we do have another one that's coming up on April 28th, which happens to be on my birthday, by the way. I got invited to something that they're doing called Fight Night, where I'm going to be a contestant with three others, and they have rented out a theater. And it's going to be a WWE-style Hearthstone match. And I'm one of the contestants. I have no idea what any of that means, by the way, other than I've been asked to do this. So hopefully, if you want to come to that, go check out kcfiresides.com, and hopefully you don't see me in spandex. That's what I'm hoping this doesn't evolve into.
Is that like one of those chess boxing things where you go in, you fight a wrestling match, and then like the bell sounds and you play a Hearthstone match, and like the loser has to go and like give an advantage to the other person in the wrestling match?
I have no idea. I was told it's a best of five. It's Hearthstone. So I'm hoping that it's just like crazy trash talk or something like that. We'll see. So it sounds like a blast. As long as I don't have to pay spandex. And if I do, I'm sorry that you had to pay to see that.
That sounds like a lot of fun, though.
I just hope a video happens.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, I would laugh so hard.
But then afterwards, it's like from 2 to 5 is when we're going to do it. And then afterwards, let's go to the bar. It'll be my 39th birthday. I'll be old. Last one before 40.
Yeah.
So.
You're not old yet.
Yeah. We're getting lit.
Yeah. So for me, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS and on Twitch, DannyDonuts45. So that pretty much wraps it up. Any last words, guys?
No.
Email us.
We're good.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Email us.
Yes. Email us at blizzpro. What's the email?
Wellmet@blizzpro.com.
Nice. So email us there. We love answering the questions. We love reading them. It also helps us gear our podcast towards you, because we can talk about Hearthstone for days, and just channeling that into the topics that you want to hear about really makes us put a pretty good product that you like out. So listen to it. Send us emails.
And maybe you can email us about seeing Ray's mom at Whole Foods, and then you can ask him about his new Freeze Mage. It'll be good times.
It'll be good times.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, thanks for joining us for episode 143 of Well Met. We record at 7 p.m. PST on Sundays. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Shout out to Jake Butno. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week. All right.